Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you are about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, October 15, 2001, at 11:30 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 9, Secret Societies. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentako. Have a pleasant flight.
Up in this land, it is clear.
Folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear. See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lights can't help him, truth's our weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in so. See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,500 night of broadcasting. We're at the Human Rights Patrol night desk. It's volume number 9. Welcome to www.pirateradioatabout.com, Human Rights Radio on the World Wide Web. We got this little half-hour show we call the Human Rights Patrol. We're in volume number 9, welcoming all of you all across the criminal enterprise called the United States. You know what I'm saying? I know they want to make y'all all act like you're from the criminal enterprise called Springfield, but you'll get over that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We got another edition for for the Human Rights Patrol. Today we're going to talk about secret societies, and I'm going to tell you why we're going to do that. You know, in the neighborhood, we always say to each other, man, they got this stuff hooked up, man. You know? And they do. But Brother Mawada taught me back in the day, it's not enough to keep on repeating that they got it hooked up. We got to bring the evidence to show our people how they got it hooked up. And it's a lot of winking going on, man. You know, I'm a blind brother, been basically blind all my life. And man, they tore me apart with their winking. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like psych, that kind of stuff. And what you find is a lot of behavior up in here is mimicked from the folks in charge. You know, like a lot of poor people try to act like they rich, you know, and they got a lot of ways to make you think that so you trip and be a good slave, a good profitable slave. But they got groups up in here, man, that actually they get together privately and they plot on us, how to dominate us, how to control us. And one of the groups that we want to bring to your attention in this particular edition of the Human Rights Patrol is the Masons. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, I first came, when we got into the struggle in the 80s, it was clear to us in the Tenants' Rights Association here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield that there was obviously something out there that was reinforcing these evil ones that we was trying to, you know, get some things accomplished with that was allegedly in power in this country, okay? And, you know, somebody was, and we kept talking about evil central. And then in the late 80s, I heard this brother out of criminal enterprise called Chicago by the name of Steve Coakley, who talked about a core of negativity. He called it the beast crew, you know. And then as time went on, I run into a brother out of the criminal enterprise called Columbus, Ohio, by the name of Brother Mawada. And that was the very first program we did at Human Rights Radio on the Masons. And we did a program on the 4th of July, which in the end of that show, he pointed out that all the folks that was in the beginning of this country was Masons. And I was like, well, dude, why don't you bring some information about that group? I want to know that group. Because I remember back in the day, somebody offered me a chance to become a member. But, hey, I was out of the gym, man. We had muscles. I was not putting on no ring to belong to nobody's group, okay? That, as far as we were concerned, that was sissy business, okay? We wasn't going there, okay? And I never got into that kind of stuff. So when the opportunity came to get some research from a brother like Brother Mawad out of the criminal enterprise called Columbus. You know, we went at it. It was in the summer of 92. We did a program called No More Mysteries About the Masons. And the government played real kind of games with the phone that night. And if you get a chance, in the Human Rights Radio Network, that program is available. It's Flight 995 out of the Black Liberation Radio days, you know. And Brother Mawad, you got to hear what the government did on the phone that night. Well, it kind of piqued my curiosity. And as I started interviewing people that claimed that they were members at one time, claimed they got out. And then I start finding out about all the connections, man, all the connections. But tonight we're not going to share with you none of those folks that I interviewed, none of those folks that I had an opportunity to get testimony from, because you probably won't want to hear that. We're going to share with you good white sources, all good white sources. Now, look, so by the time we get to 93, we done had all kind of folks come our way and tell us about their experiences with the Masons. And we didn't really want to relate, you know. Like, man, they sound pretty sinister to me, you know what I'm saying? And then the break came when we found the white folks talking about it so we could further the conversation in the community, right? Here you go. This is the first one we found.
200 years ago, work began on the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Joe Benton reports on today's ceremony marking the anniversary.
I find this cornerstone to be well-formed, true, and trusty.
Along with the architect of the Capitol, several hundred Masons paraded through a damp and rainy morning to reenact the ceremony 200 years ago when President George Washington dedicated the cornerstone of the Capitol building.
The stone itself represents a perfect cube, which is with each side perfectly square. The cube symbolizes truth and the square morality. This building is therefore built symbolically upon the foundation of perfect truth and perfect morality.
200 years ago, Capitol Hill was known as Jenkins Hill, and the whole town was just a small farming community, barely 300 families. Over the years, the Capitol building has grown with the country. A wooden dome first adorned the old building. Then in 1855, Congress decided to replace the wood with steel. And the dome atop the building now was completed in the midst of the Civil War in 1863. Today's replica of that first cornerstone was lowered to the ground and dedicated with corn and wine and oil, symbols of prosperity and joy.
Silver plate.
A silver plate, similar to a plate buried beneath the first stone, was placed atop the replica amid great solemnity, panoply, and driving rain.
Symbolizing love.
The first ceremony, though, was hardly noticed beyond the handful of people present. After Washington, himself a Mason, dedicated the stone, an entire week passed before the Columbian Mirror and Alexandria Gazette published the only known account of the event.
Then, according to the single surviving local press account, the whole congregation joined in reverential prayer, which was succeeded by Masonic chanting honors and an artillery volley.
Historians have searched the original corners and foundations of the old Capitol building looking for that first cornerstone and symbol of truth and morality. But they're unable to find it, and the stone's location remains a mystery. Joe Benton for CNN on Capitol Hill.
Now, that's CNN now, and we got this September the 17th, 1990. I'm going to ask Kanati, who does the introductions for this Human Rights Patrol. Sister, what is the date on this here tape here? See, what over time, Human Rights Radio, we done collected a mean library of information.
September 18th, 1993.
We got a mean library of information. Thank you, sister. And Zalango to you. She's over there on the net doing some work as we put this program together here called the Human Rights Patrol. Now, I know what you're going to say off top. Well, Imbana, what does that prove? You know, the Masons laid the cornerstone and boom, boom, boom. And I'm saying it don't prove at that. If what is it about this group that had allowed them to play such a significant role in the beginning of this country, but it's not taught in school? I mean, think about that, you know? I mean, like, hey, if my group did all that stuff, man, I'd be like, hey, y'all got to talk about that, man, right? Why don't they want to be known? Well, you know, when you get to hearing stuff, you got to keep studying, you know? And this is the one thing that you got to comprehend. Folks that are into human rights, we're into the knowledge that there are some truths out there. Now, we know there are folks that don't believe that there are truths, okay? So we ain't arguing with them because they ain't going to never get into the human rights. And they say that basically so that they can continue on their immature behavior. And we ain't going to argue with them about that either because they got free will. They can do what they want to do, right? But for those of that deal with truth, then you can start talking about human rights. So talking about groups like these don't scare you like it scares people that feel like they're alone and they have to get beat down by these particular groups and stuff. We don't feel like they can do anything to us because we're talking about human rights. We're talking about divine law. Now, if you're talking about divine law, you got to talk about the laws of opposites. Some people get knowledge and they want to do good things with it. Then you got some people that get knowledge and they ain't got nothing good on their mind. They want to mess over folks. Now, it's apparent that when you set up a country based on enslaving people and wiping out people, you plan on using your knowledge for evil. That's kind of, you don't have to ask nobody what they plan on doing. My people are still here. We know what they plan on doing and what they still are doing. We ain't even going to trip on it. Now, why is this group so secretive? Now, I know your uncle's in it, your cousin's in it, and they don't know anything. They probably don't. They got them basically quiet because they go to the girly parties where the girls pop out the cake on Saturday morning, you know, and they get their 10-gallon hat trip on, you know, dehumanizing another human being like that. So they ain't going to never say nothing. And then they got a group like, you got to read folks like Albert Pike, Manly Palmer Hall. They'll tell you the real. They say, hey, you know, the folks that are in the initiates, you know, that's like 8, 75, 90% of them, they don't know what's going on. They got a real tight group that know everything, man, everything. And they're the ones who make deals. They don't have to do handshakes, the real group, okay? Because they know each other. They hang out together. You know what I'm saying? They run world affairs, you know? Okay? They're the ones who come in with this stupid thing about a new world order, okay? All right. They were all around at the founding of the country, but nobody wants to talk about it. And so you say, Mbana, Ted Turner put that out in 93. He was probably trying to get some people to watch his channel. Okay, so we'll go to another white folk station because our library is full. That's one of the things the feds, they looked around, they saw all these tapes. They knew they walked into a trap. You know what I'm saying? Because they know this ain't no any kind of operation going on here at Human Rights Radio and the criminal enterprise called Springfield. So from the Discovery, no, this is from the History Channel. Yeah. It's called The Secret Brotherhood. Now, we're going to give you a little background on the Masons in this piece of tape here. And again, you're going to have to be willing to research. You're going to have to be willing. Now, in my mind, I know the folks that are in these groups, they don't believe in nothing, okay? They don't believe in nothing. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in nothing. All they believe is having what they want when they want it. That's all they believe in. And they'll use this group or any other group to further that goal, okay? And they come in many names. The CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, they got many names. But this is one of the most recognized groups. Here we go.
The critical involvement of Freemasons began with the founding of the United States. On a December night in 1773, a group of patriots disguised as Indians boarded ships in Boston Harbor. They tossed chests of British tea into the sea to protest England's harsh taxes on her American colonies. What came to be known as the Boston Tea Party would lead to the war for American independence. Many scholars believe Masons were deeply involved in the Tea Party. Brothers were known to have met regularly at the Green Dragon Tavern, where it is more than likely that the plot was hatched. Their former lodge master was Paul Revere, an artist and patriot who made this engraving of the Boston Massacre. Another brother was Joseph Warren, who died a hero in the Battle of Bunker Hill. Many who signed our Declaration of Independence belonged to the fraternity, most notably Benjamin Franklin and John Hancock. We hold these truths to be self-evident, declares this historic document, that all men are created equal and that all are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These ideals were central to the Masonic worldview.
Liberty, fraternity, equality. This was the great battle cry in the 19th century by people who believed in democracy. Well, scholars have discovered that if you look for a body of literature where those three terms appear most consistently and linked in some sort of way. It is Masonic literature.
Freemasonry had been practiced in the American colonies by high-ranking British Army officers and gentlemen since the early 1700s. But in the years before the Revolution, a less exclusive but still very respectable fraternity created itself. Men who did not belong to polite society, who were not wealthy or powerful, were accepted.
For people on the edges, Masonry would have had that allure of rising up. And so,
In the place where they're beating you down every damn day, they'll come out and they'll take it like they tried to get me in the 80s. You know, back in the day, they said, hey, man, you could really come in and make, you know, we'll let you do, you know what I'm saying? But they always want to take the folks that they think got some knowledge and give them some special privileges and suck them away from everybody else. And then in the end, they'll use you. They'll use you against other people. Phil Valentine says, if you make it to the third degree, Phil Valentine's an African researcher. You can check him out. He be kicking big time science. He be saying, look, if you want to get to the 33rd degree of the Masons, which is when you really got the brains, right? And 33rd degrees means they got 33 degrees of knowledge when it's possible to have 360. They think that means they got a lot of sense. But Phil Valentine, and I don't want to increase recruiting or nothing like that by saying this, but Phil Valentine says you have to suck a male's penis to move to the 33rd degree. And I don't want to increase recruiting or nothing like that by telling y'all that. But that show you right there. That, you know what I'm saying? That's how they keep most of them bound. You know what I'm saying? In secrecy and stuff. Okay? Now look, that's like, and that's not again, that's not what our elders told us is right behavior. That's not what our elders told us to get us our human rights. Okay, because sample and take from the white folks. We got this from the Arts and Entertainment Channel about, why don't you have it in one school book?
Those values helped to convince 13 signers of the U.S. Constitution, including Ben Franklin and George Washington, to wear the Masonic apron. 15 presidents also were drawn to the rites of Freemasonry, including Harry Truman and Gerald Ford. Composers Irving Berlin, Mozart, and Duke Ellington were Masons, joining Will Rogers, Charles Lindbergh, and John Wayne. The rites change for each new lesson, called a degree. The essence of Freemasonry resides in its third degree.
That's when most folks don't get too far past the third, okay? They don't get too far. They got stupid oaths like, I will not sleep with the wife of any Mason of my rank or above. So anybody below you, the hell with all that, right? So there's no morality. You know, they don't even trip on morality, man. What they do, you know, you got to read this book by this white boy by the name William T. Steele. It's a short book called New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. It's a short read on Masons. We interviewed him back in the day. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, he ain't want to give up too much information because you know how they are about that. But basically, the thing come down to this. You go back to the beginning of this country, you got cats like Francis Bacon, okay? Rosicrucian type cat. All these cats is, you know, they take knowledge and they use it to perpetuate evil on people, okay? What's going to blow you away is one of the brothers told me when he went to the lodge in Chicago, he said, man, he couldn't believe it was wrong because all the preachers were there. Yeah, yeah. All right, here's what happened. Here's a little bit more conversation. This comes from the Discovery Criminalization Channel. If it's a secret thing, why is all these white people putting it on TV on channels that poor people can't afford to watch, right? Because they're cable channels, right? Listen.
Freemasons arrive in America as early as the 1730s, and very quickly they establish a membership role of prestigious colonists.
Of the 56 signatories of the American Declaration of Independence, 50 were known Freemasons, only one was known not to be. George Washington's first inauguration in 1789 was a Freemasonic ritual. Look at the pictures.
At the same time that American Freemasons are supposedly using their secret knowledge to create a new country, a Freemason in Bavaria by the name of Adam Weishaupt forms a secret society known as the Order of the Illuminati.
The Illuminati were a small group that attempted to apply the ideals of the Enlightenment. They tried to create a just society in a corrupt world, and they wanted to do this all in a private way.
Within a few short years, the Illuminati grows to over 2,000 members from throughout Europe. The organization claims to be a forum for free thinkers to discuss political change.
Right. That's what they always say. But the only political change they want is in their favor. You know what I'm saying? And Steve Coakley points out, researcher out of Criminal Enterprise called Chicago, he points out that, you know, and you can't testify to the fact that that picture on the $1 bill is actually George Washington. Steve Coakley says it's probably Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati. And do you know the actual birthday of this country was May 1st, which is the Illuminati's birthday? See, there are so many things about their relationships with these type of groups that has never been made known to the masses of people. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they do devilish business. And, you know, they got all kind of different names around the world. In different countries, they got different names. There's a boy by the name of Coleman. He got a book called Conspirators Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300. Got a lot of lists of the international names. You're getting this program off the internet. So, you know, off top, your challenge is to get up on the web and do some research. Now, if I'm doing dirt and I'm using a group to help me do dirt, what do you think I'm going to have most of my literature that I got out available for folks to read to say? You think it's going to say, I'm doing dirt, ha, ha, ha? No, I'm not doing dirt, man. I'm doing good, right? At one time in this country, they had an anti-Mason society. Now, in my heart, I know it was based on the research we've been able to do. It shows that that group was developed by the Masons to find out who don't like the Masons. And, of course, them were the only ones that ever got eliminated, the ones who didn't like the Masons. They still run today. The Bushes are in Skull and Bones. They in every group because they don't believe in nothing, man. The Bushes, they believe in nothing but killing you if you get in their way, right? These groups believe in that, and they got folks bound to oaths. One of our elder scholars, George G.M. James, was said to have been done in for writing the book Stolen Legacy, telling African people, hey, they stole our legacy, right? And they supposedly had done him in, the Masons, for this, okay? So what we're going to do is offer you the opportunity now, because of this research that we brought to your attention, to go up on the net, do some research, grow. Because there are some that calculate doing dirty things to you all the time. It's a hard thing to imagine. You generally do something wrong when you get in a bad situation. But there are some that figure that's the only way they're going to come up, and they ain't studying it. They're going to get that move on any chance they get. You get in their way and you don't comprehend this, you're going to be overwhelmed, I'm telling you. But now, when you're seeking human rights, you learn about divine order, and those kind of creatures don't bother you, I'm telling you. All right, it's time for us to get up out of here. Going to call on the Human Rights Radio helicopter, because we're going to get out of here like that first. Gennady's in the place. She's running that information board over there for Human Rights Radio. And we're going to invite you to be with us for the next edition of the Human Rights Patrol at www.pirateradioatabout.com. This program originates out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, where low-power FM transmitters were put to good use with for real information flow, right? And you can check that out also with the Human Rights Radio Network. Brother Michael Hibbett out in the criminal enterprise called Bayview Hunters Point, California, 103.3 FM. Kaka Lavelle Johnson in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM. And Kaka Inko Yahuru at 94.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina. So on behalf of the Human Rights Information Network here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, we're in our 4,500 night of broadcasting, proving that human rights can outlast the Masons. One more point I need to make to y'all. When they rolled on us in September 29, 2000 and stole our equipment, the Masons held a Grand Lodge meeting that whole week, and it was the Masons who sicked the government on Mbana. So now, got you back, right? Got you back. Shouldn't be messing with this black man. You know I don't play that stuff. You're listening to the People's Choice, because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Patrol.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We will be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect. And unify our homeland.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion.
And
courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determining.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!
Kufala!